How does a banker transform into a tech founder reshaping venture capital? On this episode of The Startup Leap, we sit down with Gabriel, co-founder of Landscape. Gabriel spent nearly a decade in corporate and investment banking at Scotiabank in Canada, but something was missing. He craved more impact, more innovation, and more growth. So Gabriel made the leap into tech startups, heading partnerships for massive tech companies like Vauban and Carta. Fate stepped in when he met Joe, a founder with a bold vision for Landscape, an AI-driven operating system for venture capital. Gabriel didn't just invest in Joe's idea, he joined him to build it.
Joe did most of the heavy lifting. I'm pretty thankful for him for bringing me on. He raised from angel investors and has a strong network within the UK as well as Europe.
Join us as we dive into Gabriel's incredible journey. Whether you're an operator dreaming of entrepreneurship or just curious about what it takes to make the leap, this story has something for you. Tune in, you just might find the inspiration you're looking for.
Welcome to The Startup Leap, the number one podcast interviewing startup founders who have taken the leap into starting their own businesses.
Here on The Startup Leap, we hear real, raw, and relatable stories of these entrepreneurs, how they've navigated taking the leap, and the decisions they've made. We're your hosts.
I'm Yvonne.
And I'm Maria.
And this is The Startup Leap podcast.
Yvonne and Maria are partners at Local Globe and OpenSeed VC, respectively. Local Globe and OpenSeed are independent of the Startup Leap podcast. Any statements made by Maria, Yvonne, or the Startup Leap guests are solely their view and are not advice. Endorsements by the Startup Leap, its guests, Maria and Yvonne.
Well, welcome.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Very well.
Cool. Yeah, doing well. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
So, for the benefits of our guests, quick intro. Who's Gabriel?
Cool.
What do you do? What are you about?
You know, just a friendly Canadian who stumbled his way in London. We're building a company called Landscape. We have a product called Compass, and really what it does is help investors unlock full market visibility in identifying founders through data. And really, that's essentially what we do.
And you recently just founded Landscape. Could you talk a little bit about that?
So the company's been around for 3 years by my co-founder, Joe. He's started off as like a VC review platform, which has resonated pretty well in the ecosystem of founders sharing their experiences with VCs. That's been growing organically, and we've pivoted into a data-driven venture product where we're selling this product to VCs to help identify early-stage founders.
How did you decide that this was the thing to do together?
Good question. So, you know, how do you meet a Manchester-founded founder? You meet him at a pub.
So you met at a pub?
No, jokes aside. he initially acquired about a company that I was working for back in the day. It was called Vauban. And what we were doing is we were helping create syndicates and VC firms online. He was inquiring about the product. We got to talking. I was really inspired what he was doing on the VC review side. I angel invested into his company. I've seen him kind of go through the ups and downs of being a founder, and he's kind of pivoted the company into building this data-driven product that we have called Compass. And and now, you know, I'm essentially helping him build that out, which has been pretty exciting.
What's the thing that moved the needle for you? How did you build conviction that you could take the leap and, you know, try to build this thing someone else had started building and you believed in enough to kind of join?
Yeah. For me, I've been in the venture capital space for about 4 years. So with Vauban, we were helping venture firms create venture funds through software so they can allocate capital to founders. Mm-hmm. With Landscape, they're aggregating data to help identify founders. And so, yeah, I think, you know, if our platform can help an investor identify like a founder for funding and that turns out to be a positive outcome, I think everyone kind of wins. The investor wins, the founder wins, the employees win, the LPs win, the economy just overall benefits. So, yeah, really passionate about what venture capital does in terms of the industry. And I think, you know, it's a very helpful ecosystem that we want to participate in.
How has that leap been from being an operator, working at a startup, and then starting your own as a co-founder?
So I've lost a lot of hair since that period.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, lots of anxiety. But no, I'm super grateful to have Joe as like my co-founder because he's been through a ton of experiences of being a founder. So he's helped me guided me through this, which has been really helpful. I would say, you know, like the major difference that I've experienced being an operator to being a founder really resonated when I was like sitting on a couch on Saturday morning being like, I can just chill, but you know, the buck stops with me. And so I like started working on Saturday and I'm like really, if I'm the only one who can do like, who can move this needle. And so, yeah, I'm like the accountability kind of ends with me. Yeah. Which is a little bit different. Whereas like, you know, as an operator, you just do the job that you're kind of assigned to do.
Fantastic. And you had been an operator for how long before you joined Landscape?
Yeah, so I used to be a banker for about 9 years. Mm-hmm. So did a bunch of roles and then ended up in a startup as like their business development manager, as like one of the early employees. And then just kind of moved over, kind of been in the startup space for about 4 years now in total.
And in retrospect, what were the things that you think, if you knew early enough, would have made your transition much easier?
Yeah, I think prioritization is like really important, especially as a founder. There's so many like cool ideas and things that you want to do, but ultimately you kind of have to build the company brick by brick. And so having prioritization of building the company in terms of like focusing on customers, focusing on product, and everything else could be kind of like noise. So I think there's a lot of shiny objects that you can do, but you kind of have to start walking before you start running. And so, yeah, I think, you know, that's a major realization on my side.
What was the biggest fear before the leap?
Going into entrepreneurship?
Yes.
Biggest fear is probably imposter syndrome. I've been so fortunate to be in like the venture ecosystem where like, you know, there's emerging fund managers creating funds like yourself, Maria. We have founders kind of building passionate projects and things that they're really, you know, passionate about. So for me, I've been surrounded by really intelligent people and, you know, I don't think I'm intelligent by any means. I just think, you know, I'm hardworking. And I think just kind of like taking a chance on myself was kind of like a big fear. But yeah, I think, you know, I'm in a position in my life where, you know, I'm able to take that risk. Whereas, you know, some other people aren't fortunate enough to take those kind of chances. So yeah, super grateful for kind of like being able to do this for sure.
What does success look like for you at this early stage of this journey?
Success for us at Landscape is building an operating system for data-driven venture. You know, I think venture capitalists are extremely time poor, and so helping them, you know, aggregate data, use data, leverage AI, and automate a lot of their workflows to help drive efficiency so they can start talking to like the right founders, invest in the right companies, and, you know, ultimately have really good return outcomes for their fund. That'd be a huge success for us and really driving the venture capital ecosystem in incorporating like a data-driven approach in addition to kind of the traditional network investing that it has been done for the last 70 years in venture. So that new frontier is really exciting for us and us kind of experimenting, and it's really like a blank canvas of what can be possibly done. And so that's really exciting for us. And, you know, if we are able to achieve that, and even if we get one investor to find one founder on our platform, that's still like a major big win. So I think that's kind of like success from like a Landscape perspective. From my side, just growing as an individual, just being comfortable, being uncomfortable. I'm taking this as like a life journey of building a company, having the optionality to go into entrepreneurship and yeah, really just experiment and learn and really push myself to be better. And I really think, you know, when you're competing in like the venture space, it's a global competition. So yeah. Anything like sports related, like you're competing with athletes here. I think you're competing with like the greatest minds. And so yeah, I'm inspired to kind of like win and compete and, you know, be the best that we can be.
At the early stages, it's often said that focus is absolutely key. What are the two or three things that you're currently optimizing for?
Well, I have ADD, so like that's really hard for me. But in terms of what I focus on is, I guess like that 80-20 rule, right? So yeah. Like what am I doing right now that I can optimize my existing workflow so, you know, I can be more efficient? So I focus on that. I focus on like bringing sales in because I'm more on the commercial side. Joe is more on the product tech side. And so my whole responsibility is like building top of the funnel. How do we convert customers? Who are we targeting? And really just spending my energy on driving growth and revenue. And then the third priority in terms of focus is just, having fun, I guess. Yeah.
Making sure it's an enjoyable experience because it's going to be a long one. So you might as well have fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think having fun is quite important. You gotta like take the wins. We all work remotely. And yeah. So like I think 2 weeks ago, like Joe and I had like a beer, like via Zoom, like it was like COVID, but it was such a good experience because we're like it was such a tough week. We had like a board meeting and then we had like stuff happen with our company in terms of like customers. And then we acquired more customers, but at the end of the day, like we had some wins that week and it was like pretty positive. Yeah.
For Landscape and you, one interesting thing is you didn't take the path of venture. You are building a venture tool, but you didn't raise VC funding. Was that deliberate?
So Joe did most of, you know, the heavy lifting. So I'm pretty thankful for him for bringing me on. But yeah, he raised from angel investors and has a pretty strong network within the UK as well as Europe. So he's done a fantastic job in being able to fundraise. We haven't taken venture capital funding because predominantly we didn't really need to. And so we're looking to kind of grow the company at a reasonable pace. And, you know, if we see opportunities where we need, you know, either product development or, you know, scaling the company at an expedited rate, then, you know, that is an optionality. But yeah, I think we're quite fortunate that our product sells to VCs. And so we have a very strong network of VCs. And so, you know, every time we're on a call trying to sell to VCs, they're like, you guys fundraising, which is pretty good. And so we do have a list of potential VCs that are interested in kind of coming in, which is nice. But Joe and I spent like, you know, the last 5 to 3 years building out our network. So like, you know, last 3 years, I was never home. Mm-hmm. I was out in all the networking events. I didn't know a single person in London. So mm-hmm. To have like a pretty strong network is, you know, a time commitment that I kind of chose, which is something you need to do. And yeah. It wasn't me trying to fundraise or trying to get anything out of VCs. It was just building relationships and meet new people. Yeah. And so, yeah, that'd be like my advice to anyone who's trying to get venture capital funding, just always build relationships, be genuine. And, you know, hopefully that helps down the road when you have a call in.
You have been a founder for 5 months now.
Yeah, I'm a baby founder.
No, but I think every experience is important. How does it feel in retrospect to what you thought it was going to feel like?
Yeah, you know, within that 5 months, I've kind of gone through, you know, that graph of early stage, like
there's
emotions.
There's a valley of despair.
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Elation, so it's like excitement.
You've made the announcement that you're a founder and then it's panic and then doubts and imposter syndrome to like, okay, stability. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think it was really exciting to be, you know, to consider myself a founder and then had some doubts in terms of like imposter syndrome. And now just keeping myself really grounded and realizing, you know, I'm the one who kind of delivers the outcome of success. And so just really focusing on, you know, every day, what am I able to deliver and just making sure like I am achieving those day-to-day goals. And yeah, again, super helpful to have Joe, who's been around for about 3 years and he's gone through some stuff. So yeah.
Is there anything that's surprised you since you've been on this journey as a co-founder?
Yeah, just I guess the emotional side for sure. Yeah, there's luckily I have like a partner at home who is really has like a strong emotional intelligence, and so I come to her and she'll like talk about the problems with me, which is really helpful. So I didn't realize how impactful that was as a founder, and I imagine someone who's going on the journey alone, having someone on their side or in the corner that they can talk to is quite important. So yeah, and that, like, knowing that, I have even more respect for, you know, founders now, and you, Joe, who's been doing it alone for the last 3 years. So yeah, hats off to everyone who's doing entrepreneurship.
Interesting. In terms of the financial preparation, oftentimes as an operator, you have a stable salary. You have the brand, you have all of that, but then having to go through the unknowns, how did you think about that in terms of the financial risk you were taking?
Yeah. Well, lucky for me, I've been working for the last, you know, 10 plus years. And, you know, with Vauban, we had an successful exit. So kind of built myself my own personal runway. If everything goes south, then we can't do a single thing right, which is great. But yeah, I guess that being said, in terms of how I balance like the financial insecurity, I think about it like choices that you're able to make. And right now in my life, I'm able to make the choice of being an entrepreneur and waking up and doing something I'm very passionate about and love, which not everyone gets to do. So I feel, you know, like that small marginal sacrifice of like, you know, monthly income is okay. I'm living a pretty modest lifestyle, and it really lets me focus on building the company rather than like going out. Like all my friends are going out to like south of France over the holidays and summer. I'm going to be working, like, you know, and, you know, I'm excited about it. I like building the company, and this is really fun for me. So yeah, it's a decision that I can be proud of.
Fantastic. What would you say is your superpower that helps you be a better entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'm learning that right now. I don't really know if I have a superpower. I think it's just leeching onto Joe and kind of sucking as much information out of him as possible. So he's been super helpful. But yeah, I think for me, I wish I was one of those individuals who came straight out of university and just knew what they wanted to do. I didn't have that luxury. I just kind of went through various different roles and experiences and just gathered skill sets that I thought would be beneficial for myself. And I think what really resonated with me is just the people aspect. And I think venture has a very strong like people component of relationship building, network, support. And I think that's really where I thrive. So you've seen me at events just kind of
You get your energy from people.
Yeah, I get energy from people. But it's funny because I'm an introvert. So
I believe that too. Yeah.
At home, I'm just like
decompressing. Yeah.
My partner hates me for it. But, you know, but yeah, no, I think that's kind of like my superpower. I really like love working with people and helping people. And so I think venture is just kind of like the best place to be in kind of pushing that.
Just thinking through you joining Landscape, what were you thinking about? How did you rationalize the decision to actually even take the leap and join?
It wasn't rational, no. Yeah. What was the rationale?
Yeah. What was going through your mind? How did you come to the decision? Were there any moments
where you're
like,
what was the tipping point that you're like, you know what? This is why I have to do it.
Yeah, I think for me, so I had to leave some money on the table from like the exit with Carta. And so like that was the opportunity cost that I had to kind of forego. But also, I guess the opportunity cost that I was leaving behind was the opportunity to learn from like the leadership team from Carta, who's, you know, they've raised a Series G, Silicon Valley unicorn, like really strong caliber of like senior leadership. And Henry Ward is like an excellent like CEO. So being able to kind of like extract information and like experiences from them is probably like an opportunity cost. But on the other hand, for me, you know, AI is kind of like blowing up around the world. And I also wanted to dive into entrepreneurship, but also be in the wave of people building in artificial intelligence and looking to better the world with whatever sector or industry that your company's focusing on. And so for us, we're focusing on venture capital and driving efficiencies there and leveraging AI and data. So I thought that was just kind of like a perfect fit. And I haven't been in Vauban and Carta and speaking to a number of investors, you know, everyone's thinking about incorporating those kind of tools, but you know, VCs aren't the greatest kind of builders. They're really great at investing, but it's quite expensive to kind of have like the resources to build out a product and also maintain the product and make sure it's operating at a high velocity. And I think that's really where we come in. And yeah, it's been resonating pretty well with a lot of VCs so far.
How big is the team?
So we're a team of five, super small, super lean. But yeah, we're efficient. Everyone serves a purpose.
What advice would you give to operators who are thinking about taking that leap to starting their own business or, you know, joining a super early company?
Yeah. Don't do it. No. I guess really just know like what you're good at. For me, it was like the commercial side of things, so marketing, sales, but I also had like a banking background, so I have like a financial like comprehension of like building a business as well. So I think that's really helped me to where I am today, and that really complements Joe in terms of him being focused on like the product and tech. Also great sales guy and like marketing guy as well, but you know, as a founder, you can't really do everything. And so being able to complement your co-founder is like extremely important. And then just understanding like where your skill sets thrive in like the funding stages. So like 0 to 1, like you kind of have to do everything and do like wear multiple hats, and really like you don't have resources to help you kind of build the company. Yeah. So you should be executing the best that you can to kind of deliver the outcomes that you want. Whereas like at a later stage company, you have a team of like, you know, 3 to 5 marketers, you have like a social media team, you have like a bunch of other team members focused on purely like one functionality of the business. And so if, you know, if your goal is to be like a leader and kind of drive these different teams for an outcome, a larger project, like, you know, kudos to you. I think it's just a different skill set, right? Yeah. And just understanding where you thrive in kind of 0 to 1 or like 1 to 100, like, you know, just understanding that. But
know I guess what you're good at.
Yeah, I guess for me, like I had the luxury of having that experience of, you know, being in a unicorn company, being in a corporate and being in a startup. And so, you know, I made the conscious decision of joining a startup because I like the 0 to 1. I like the chaos. Yeah. I like going into a room and people being like, who the hell are you? Hi, I'm Gabriel. I'm from Landscape.
Okay. And one question I had was just from operating in banking to going to the startup, what influenced that? And in retrospect, do you think that that was a good step to going to starting your own startup? Or would you, in retrospect, maybe take the leap like from the banking to like building a tech startup of your own?
I don't know. But for me, I think banking has been helpful in just being disciplined in how I operate and like, you know, just being attentive to like details, like, you know, like you're presenting $1 million deals, you, like there's no margin for error. Mm. So I think that just kind of instilled in some of the things that I do today. And it's been super helpful just kind of building up my craft. It's hard for me to say, you know, whether what's right or wrong. The reason I left banking to become an operator was because I didn't really like the analytical side of like analyzing businesses, like number crunching and like pushing papers. I thought it was super insightful, but you know, I did 9 years of it.
And thrive in it. Didn't give you energy.
Yeah, exactly. I'd come into work and you know. Be like another day of work, but I wanted to try something different and build a different skill set, and you know, the operator role gave me a chance to kind of be kind of like a sales leader, build strategical partnerships, think from a marketing lens. So everything outside of finance, which has been really exciting and fun for me, which has been, you know, learning a new skill set. So yeah, it's been all kind of very helpful in kind of my journey so far.
Fantastic. One thing we tend to do is we often ask founders in retrospect what they would do differently, but you've just started 5 months.
Yeah.
You've already shared a little bit about like what you would do differently.
Yeah.
Project next 5 years. What are you hoping for?
For myself?
As a founder. And also your business.
Yeah. Well, I really want to have Landscape be like a global name in the venture capital space. I think that'd be super exciting. I think we're taking a product approach to venture capital, which is very different from a lot of the venture capital firms. And we don't operate as a VC fund investing into companies. But I think, you know, providing transparency and data really helps kind of unlock some of the inefficiency in the private markets. But, you know, obviously it's called private markets for a reason. You know, that's how you drive alpha, by knowing something that other people don't. But I think, you know, there's also a lot of inefficiencies as well of people who don't have access to networks and, you know, being able to like find capital. So I think the capital inefficiencies can be improved and utilizing data and data and AI. And so I think that's really exciting. In the next 5 years, you know, I hope, you know, we're a global brand out of the US, out of Europe, and really just helping kind of drive the frontier of data-driven venture, which is pretty cool.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for answering our question.
Yeah, thank you for having me. That was really fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Startup Leap, TSL for short. Leave a review, tell us what you think of this episode on all of our platforms at the Startup Leap Pod. Do you have a question? Ask us and we'll ask our guests. Go to thestartupleap.io. See you next time.